It's Saturday. It's the Saturday show, and we've got chicken. We usually do one from the vault and one from the week. And this week I talked about the UK concern about chlorinated chicken in the US. I shall play that spiel, a spiel I was put on this earth to do. And I was thinking about, what else have I done about chicken in the past? And this was one of those I totally forgot I did until I started looking through the records. But it turns out, surprise to me, in October of 2017, in an episode titled The Shia LaBeouf of Islam, don't know what that title refers to, I did a segment on a UK data scientist who put together a study and a graph of all the UK chicken shops named after US states. You know, not just Kentucky Fried Chicken, he actually excluded those, but Tennessee Fried Chicken and California Fried Chicken. And you'll be shocked at how many UK chicken shops are named after US states, even though the UK is supposedly clamoring up in arms. Oh, let me have a good chicken pun. Here we go. Acting like the sky is falling over the prospect of US chlorinated chicken. So I will tell you, you might find the segment delightful because I forgot it existed and I found it kind of delightful, or at least interesting, and certainly in keeping with my recent trend of covering UK, US chicken contra tem. Enjoy. I came across a tweet which led me to a question which answered a conundrum I had never considered. Now, the tweet is from a guy, a data scientist, let's say, who's not. I can't disprove that. His name is Gwillem Lockwood, and he tweets, "I walked past a Tennessee Fried Chicken the other day." This guy's from London. "And I wonder how many UK chicken shops are called, parentheses, US state fried chicken." And so he did the research. He found every fried chicken place in the United Kingdom that was named after a U.S. state. And he said, "I'm not going to count Kentucky." Here were the states he found. He found an Alaska Fried Chicken, an Arizona Fried Chicken, California, Florida, Georgia, a Kansas Fried Chicken, Michigan Fried Chicken, Mississippi Fried Chicken, one Montana Fried Chicken, an Ohio Fried Chicken, Tennessee, a few Texases, and a Virginia. And it has a number of amazing graphs to show the distribution geographically of these fried chicken places. I did the same thing for New York. I could find the New York stats. And in New York, there, in addition to Kentucky Fried Chicken, which doesn't actually exist as such, KFC, there is a New York Fried Chicken, a Texas Fried Chicken. Are you ready for this one? An Arkansas Fried Chicken. But not nearly as many chickens named after states as they have in a country other than our own. Theory, I think it is harder to sell a New Yorker than someone from Stoke-on-Kent about the prospects of biting into fried chicken from Kansas. Now, I have long wondered about the question, what is the worst state to name a food after, to associate your food stuff brand-wise with a state or commonwealth? And when I asked this question to people, and maybe you are such a person, you said New Jersey, because it always gets a laugh. But that is totally untrue. There are Jersey tomatoes. There's Jersey Mike's subs. There's a Jersey fried chicken. Well, I Googled it. It said it was a Jersey fried chicken, but it really was a jersey, a baseball jersey of fried chicken. I'm not kidding. For $70, you could wear a fried chicken jersey. So here are some of the runners up. It's not Jersey. Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas goes well with a lot of things you want to put in your mouth. Fresh, clear Arkansas spring water. Maybe. New Hampshire doesn't go well. It doesn't seem like a disgusting place or anything. It's nice. It's clean. It's just the length of the name New Hampshire. Hey, you want a New Hampshire burger? You know, also, it lacks a lot of distinguishing characteristics, right? It's next to Vermont, the man in the mountain that fell down, votes first, doesn't lead you to want to bite into New Hampshire broil, let's say. Now, South Dakota, that has a little bit of the New Hampshire problem. It's a mouthful. South Dakota pears aren't that inviting. South Dakota strudel, I'd rather pass. Doesn't roll off the tongue. But you know what? If you take the South away and just call things Dakota, Dakota something, that's a delicious food, right? I've got your answer, though. I've gone through some of the runners up. Your answer is West Virginia. Hey, you want a sip of that West Virginia wine a healthy swig of West Virginia sparkling water? You do not. Such are the associations with West Virginia. Sorry, West Virginia, you lost on that one. You did win the war on coal, though, so take that as far as you can. And now the spiel. If you've heard anything about tariffs, and I'm going to assume you have, they nearly scuppered the U.S. economy. So if you've heard anything, you may have come across a particular idiom used to describe the types of negotiations they are said to be.
A massive game of chicken.
He's playing a game of chicken with no end.
It's really a game of chicken where each one is, you know, driving the car at the other one.
But over in the U.K., and I did use the word scuppered before, there is a different kind of chicken concern.
Hi, my name's Phil. I like to talk about politics, and in this video I'd like to discuss how Trump seems to be misjudging a few things about his tariffs plan. He is suggesting that we will need to accept chlorinated chicken for lower tariffs, seemingly unaware of the massive political and public opposition to this.
That gentleman was English, I can only assume, picking up on context clues. He is Phil Morehouse, whose YouTube channel covering political news from a socialist perspective has 250,000 viewers. The background was Parliament, Big Ben, might as well have been a picture of Shakespeare and David Beckham sharing a warm beer. Britain is all a flutter over the prospect of having to eat American chicken, American chlorinated chicken. It is a demand of impending trade deals, supposedly, that the UK lowers its barriers, which some in the UK say means lowers their standards. The callers to the British network LBC had a bone to pick with the policy.
Okay, we go to a swimming pool, we drink chlorine
Indeed.
Sometimes, Indeed. Once a week or once a month. But why is it called chlorinated chicken? It's because their standards are low. They've got lots of like germs on the chicken. They don't look after the chicken as well. And then they wash it with the chlorinated chicken to kill the germs.
That was Jay from Saffron Walden talking to host Nick Ferrari. You picked up on the anxiety there. It's not the eating of the chlorinated chicken that is so wrong. It is the question of why do they, meaning we, have to chlorinate it in the first place. There's another angle beyond the supposed first and second order health concerns, and that's nationalism, the purity of the nation. Here was the UK Labour Minister on LBC.
Would you be happy to see chlorinated chicken in the United Kingdom?
No, because the UK food standards are clear that they are not up for negotiation in any deal with other countries. And so chlorinated chicken, hormone-treated beef, both illegal in the UK and will remain so.
James Murray there talking to once more Nick Ferrari, a man who really couldn't look less like a Nick Ferrari. What's going on in the UK is very much like what's going on over here. Using all manner of appeal to sanctity, to purity, to patriotism, to pursue essentially what is a trade policy. That second reference that you heard the minister talking about, hormones and meat or beef, that's a credible concern. Scientists will tell you that. But including chicken in that danger is a really unfair conflation. And it's not just the chicken industry saying this, though it is the chicken industry saying this. I have been watching a lot of chicken industry videos narrated by a fellow put on this earth to narrate industrial films.
Like many of our favorite foods, we often don't think about all the hard work that takes place before it reaches our plate. The U.S. Poultry and Egg Association invites you to join us for a behind-the-scenes look at today's high-tech, highly efficient poultry processing plants.
Those are good pipes. Now, I have to say, I was slightly impressed with the fact, in the middle of all these chicken videos, that they didn't totally skip over the part about killing a lot of chickens.
They pass by a sharp blade that severs arteries in the neck.
And then, after a cold plunge and gutting, sometimes, the National Chicken Council estimates that chlorine is used in less than 5% of processing plants, but sometimes this happens.
Other strategies may include the use of food-grade antimicrobial rinses, which are recognized by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration as a safe and effective way to inhibit the growth of foodborne pathogens on raw product.
Ian Boyd, a professor of biology at the University of St. Andrews, told the New York Times, quote, "This is a classic example of how belief has overtaken evidence and become embedded in a complex socio-political discourse, which is almost certainly motivated by something very different from the actual issue." Yes, that is exactly what I was picking up the caller from Saffron Walden as saying. But the professor from St. Andrews went on to say, chlorine-washed chicken is almost certainly a proxy for much deeper issues concerning trust. So you might be thinking, oh yeah, they don't trust Donald Trump. No, that quote was taken from a New York Times article in 2021. The Biden administration then was forced to negotiate with the UK after Brexit. A fractious Britain, united in hatred, not particularly scientifically sound hatred, of U.S. chicken. It was apparently one of the few things bringing the country together. The same phenomenon is being seen now. You would not believe how big an issue this is in the U.K. Their tabloids are going crazy with chicken stories, crying foul, beating their breasts, clucking their disapproval, running around like chickens with their heads cut off. The fact that there are a lot of chicken puns available does not hurt tabloid coverage. But perhaps the tabloids, like the chicken plants they criticize, are in fair abattoirs on this question. Maybe they are. I just wanted to give you a pun slightly elevated from British tabloid level. No page three girls here, though. The Europeans themselves have studied the issue, and the European Food Safety Authority could find no evidence that chlorinated chicken is unsafe. As far as the, but it doesn't cover up for the sins of the chicken creation process. Well, that is a claim when you break it down that the chicken chlorine wash is ineffective. But there's no evidence for that either. And plenty of U.S. chicken makers have, as noted, moved away from chlorine and towards parasitic acid, which probably doesn't have the cultural cachet of chlorine in that parasitic acid isn't used as a chemical weapon sometimes. Tabloids and gizzards aside, it seems as though UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer is smart enough to avoid this issue overall. Chlorinated chicken won't be on the table in trade negotiations or in London. Sidestepping the chicken talk doesn't make him cowardly. It makes him smart. He'll insist on avoiding this issue, and the US will almost definitely accept a deal that allows for 95% of the chicken, the percent that isn't chlorinated, to go over to the UK. It's kind of an obvious solution. It might not fit in with the interest of tabloids or the anxieties of Englishmen, but unlike a chlorinated chicken, it is sure to take flight. That's it for today's show. Just as produced by Corey Wara and CBSO, Michelle Pasca, Umpru G Peru, Du Peru, and thanks for listening.